Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for this afternoon's show by Joe Nivosinski, my co-host Mike Jakubik, and one of our volunteers here at the radio station, Joan Dunkelberger. Good afternoon to one and all.
Good afternoon,
thank you, Joe.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Well, let's begin, as we always do, with our prayer to St. Michael. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
St. Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Michael.
Yes, Joseph, I think we're going to do something a little different today, and mainly because of the fact that our show is going to be broken up into 2 days, as everybody knows. We're going to air this on Saturday, which would be Holy Saturday, and our Lord will be basically, from our perspective, not with us at that time. And then it'll air again on Tuesday, which brings us to the reason why we are a church, why all Christians are a church, is the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because without that, there isn't any church for anyone. So we're going to do that. So I thought today's show, when we were talking, this might be a great opportunity to talk a little bit about what Lent has meant to us, how we feel going into Holy Week. And maybe, just maybe, there might be someone out there that is going through channels. We've all done it. You know, you hit the scan button and you're going through, and these are for people that normally don't listen to us, and all of a sudden we pop up. And for some unknown reason, they decide to stop and listen. And that is part of what this Holy Family Radio is all about, is evangelization. So maybe just one or two words that we say today might bring someone back into the faith, or someone that has no faith, to actually go into a church and listen and believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's just something to do. And I just thought that rather than us talk about all the things that bother us every day, let's talk about the good things that have been given to us and what Christ did for us. One of the things that always bothered me, and I know I've said this before, is every time I look at the Passion of Jesus, I always wonder what my sins have caused. You know, was my sins, hopefully, I kind of like categorize things, and I'm always hoping that my sins were only the fact that when he walked the walk to Calvary. But I don't want to be my sins to be the one to drive the nail into his palm. I don't want to be my sins to have that spear lanced into his side. I don't want to be my sins causing him to be beaten and whipped and spit upon and mocked. And you know, they're just scary about what did I do and what did he have to pay for? And that's just kind of like the thing.
I mean, that's an interesting thought. You realize that thought process is there, but do you focus 100% on it, you know, from Ash Wednesday to Good Friday? No, I don't think any of us do.
No, and I think the problem with that is the fact that we don't think about what we did to cause all this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't do this in a vacuum. He did this because of what we all did. Kind of scary.
I remember hearing years ago about Jesus, you know, agony in the garden, and he even, how is it said, dripped blood mm-hmm. from it. But anyway, him taking on all of our sins, and that, I mean, that hit me. Like, I'm thinking, gosh, he's aware of all of our sins.
Yes, he is.
And that really hit me hard there. Yeah.
And you know what else? The apostles, when they was over in the garden, they couldn't stay awake.
I
think maybe sometimes that's us with our sins, or however we want to phrase that. Sometimes we don't pay enough attention to what we should be paying attention to.
I agree with you, Joe, 100%. I mean, you know, that's really what he came here for. I mean, can you imagine that?
Yeah, he could have done anything. He could have saved us any way he wanted to. God could do anything he wanted to. But he chose to do it that way. And the thing that I always didn't have a good understanding about was how we can take part in redemption through our sufferings. And we can use that to help in salvation of others. You know what I mean? And we can, you know, his suffering was not lacking anything, but we can unite our suffering with his, is what I'm trying to say. And when I was younger, that was a really hard concept for me to understand. But as I get older now, I think I have a better understanding that he made it so that we can be a part of the salvation by attaching our suffering to his. I think that's a really great thing that God did.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why we do things like evangelize, because we do have to suffer with him. And I think Holy Week is a time of being able to see that. Yesterday, I did not go, but for the Chrism Mass, Alexa and I watched it on TV. I mean, that's a nice thing about this. Mm-hmm. You can say, well, I'm not going to go downtown Harrisburg during rush hour. Mm-hmm. I'm going to sit at home and I can watch this. But I think that's one of the nice things about the Catholic faith. We have, and I say it in this way, I guess, the pomp and the ceremonial of the little things that we need. We need the chrism to be able to be baptized. We need the chrism in order to be confirmed. Mm-hmm. But then there's actually a procedure for this to occur. When you see all the priests get together, and when you see the blessing, and you see our bishop, you know, mixing the olive oil with the balsam and everything, I mean, that's part of the ceremonial of our church, and it tries to bring us closer to God.
Yeah, our church has such a rich history and a rich faith that so many things mean more than one thing. We have all this symbolism, you know, and it comes from, like, the Bible. When you read the Bible, you read one verse, and it means so many different things on so many different levels, and that's how things are in our church. A lot of times our sacraments and our sacramentals have so much meaning behind them. So when you see something, it's deep behind it, right?
Yeah, it really is. And I mean, I think we live this time with Christ. I mean, can you imagine how Christ felt? I mean, here's Jesus. He's coming in on Palm Sunday. And everybody, he's the man. I mean, you know, they're all happy. They're joyous. They want to see him. And then 5 days later, they're saying, crucify him. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the sheer weight of that on a human being. I mean, I can't even imagine it.
I always hate that part when we're at the Mass on Palm Sunday and we have to say those crucify him. You know, I always hate saying that part. You know, I don't know if I'm the only one. But it's like, you know, why do I have to say that part? You know, and then I think, well, you know, our sins crucify him. You know,
so right.
That's why we have to say that.
That's what
right?
it is. Every time we sin, we say the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's just that we don't say it out loud. Yeah. I was teasing Deacon McAllister because I said, it's a shame about being the youngest one there, because Father Roth was there. We had another visiting priest. We had Deacon Aki there. And I mentioned to Deacon McAllister, I said, it's a real shame. I said, you had to play Judas.
Yeah.
the parts that are red, you take the youngest guy and you say, okay, you get to play Judas. And I told him, I said, the good thing is when you get ordained by the grace of God, I said, you'll be able to have someone else do that next year. At Easter time, you won't have to be Judas.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't think about it until you realize. Like, Sunday we went to 9:30 Mass down at the cathedral. Bishop Sr. was there. You know, Palm Sunday, they blessed the palms and everything outside.
Oh, okay.
And then we all processed in. Mm-hmm. Okay? But when you start with Palm Sunday, as he said, and then you realize what's going to happen between Monday and Friday, mm-hmm. okay, it's really deep and really profound, and I don't think any of us really concentrate as deeply as we should during Holy Week. I think we're all, to one degree or another, a little bit guilty of doing that.
Yeah, you're so right, Joseph. I mean, I think that is why we do this. Mm-hmm. That is why, if you look at our faith, and I think that's one of the nice things about the ceremonials and everything that we go through, you actually live the life of Christ. From the time that he is born mm-hmm. until the time that he dies, and then the time that he comes back. Because if it wasn't a resurrection, why are we here?
Right,
you
know? Right.
You know, at the end of Mass on Sunday, they sang, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?"
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
And that was probably the most profound part of the Mass, other than Bishop's homily, which was really, really good. To do and think about and just ponder as you say those words or sing those words. Were you there? You know, at the foot of the cross.
When I worked, we used to have this black gentleman, and I worked at New Cumberland, and I think he was a minister, but he would sing that, and he was a small, he was a slight man, but his voice was, I mean, you couldn't believe his voice. And I don't think whenever he sang, there was a dry eye in the house. I don't care who you were, because you actually felt like you were there. And
wow. Yeah, was that any time of year he did that?
No, he always did it at Easter time. Okay. We used to have a service, you know, and they don't do that anymore, I don't believe, because now it's not the separation of church and state. It's the abolishment of religion by the state. So I don't think that's done anymore. But it used to be. We did the same thing, and we still do at Christmas time. We say a prayer. I mean, you know, when we do the underprivileged children's Christmas party, it is still led off with a prayer.
Yeah, our church is so great when it comes to, you know, what happens Holy Week. You got Holy Thursday and Good Friday, and you know, and our church has such all these great, like you said, ceremonies and services that we have there that other churches don't have. So it's like, you know, if you want the real thing, you got to come to the Catholic Church.
Yeah, right? I think that's the whole point of the Catholic Church. If you want the real thing, and the real thing is the Eucharist, you must be a Catholic. It is not bread and wine. Mm-hmm. It is not an event at a church where you just hand out a little piece of bread and you hand out a little piece of wine. You're actually handing out the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. And that's,
amen.
That's one of those things that, you know, someone once said that strong Protestants become Catholic and weak Catholics become Protestants.
Yes.
You know, I've never heard that before, but that's really in my experience, that's really a true statement, because if people that are really fired up about their faith, they find out, holy cow, I better join the Catholic Church. And weak Catholics, they're like, they want to be entertained, and many times they'll go to a church where they're entertained instead of, you know, being a part of our faith. So.
Yeah. On that note, guys, we're quickly coming up on our break. How about we do that? We'll come back and see where the second half of the show goes. We'll be back right after these messages. And welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined by Joe Nebosinski, Mike Jakubik, Joan Dunkelberger, and Crystal Carmen Stevens, who just walked in the studio front door just in time for our second half.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, there you go. So we were talking about Lent and different things and what our faith means to us. We've kind of covered the whole gamut there, I guess, in the first half. So anybody want to pick it up and go from there?
Well, I think one of the things that we should all talk about is Mrs. Dunkelberger's here, and her son happens to be a priest. And we know this is very easy going time for the priest. It's not like they have anything to do, right?
Right. They're so, you know, relaxed, nothing else going on. And I just can't imagine. I mean, our son, Father Ben, has so many things going on, just like all the priests in our diocese. But they do a wonderful job. And I thank them all.
You know, and I think when you look back at our faith, that's the whole point. When Christ said when he was here, it wasn't to be served, it was to serve. And our priests do a fantastic job. Our bishop leading all of our priests, our seminarians, our deacons, the laity, everyone. This is a special time of the year. And it's something that at the very end, we're going to play a little song at the end to finish our show up with. But right now, we still have things to talk about. Maybe the good times that you remember of Easter. What do you feel going into this moment? Crystal, is there anything that, you know, like in your heart of hearts, is there anything that makes this special week for you?
It's an emotional time, you know, to try to be with Jesus at the foot of the cross on Good Friday. It's it's a really emotional time. How to lose the things that the Lord wants us to lose this year, so we can be closer to Him in His rise when He rises. So I can rise as well. You know, it's an emotional time. It's a hard time for the priest. They have to work a lot, but I think it's a hard time for the laity as well. You know, that Triduum is a marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I know I'm emotionally exhausted by the time Easter comes.
Yeah.
And I'm not a priest, you know.
Exactly.
But you're right. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, you know, Easter Saturday, and then, you know, I mean, if you go to the vigil on Saturday evening, which I highly recommend if you've never done that before, you should go to the vigil Saturday night, because it's an amazing experience. I didn't go when I was younger. My mom and dad were like, we're not taking our boys to that. So when we were younger, we didn't go. But now that I'm an adult, we go, and I would not want to ever miss that, because it's really neat getting to see the new people
when you
in.
When you realize at the end of Good Friday, everything has gone off the altar, the candelabras, the whole nine yards. The church looks so barren and so empty.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you go through Saturday and Sunday, and our Lord is risen. And for the people that are coming into the Catholic Church in any of our parishes, come the vigil mass and at the 9:30 mass of the cathedral on Easter Sunday morning, will come into the church. And I can't imagine the road, because it was different. Everything from like pre-Cana, when the wife and I were married 53 years ago, to our first Easter together and her coming into the church, you know, the whole thing. Yeah, my wife's a convert. But it is an amazing, amazing time. I don't know how else to express it.
The readings are neat, too. I mean, because the reading is pretty much the history of salvation. It's like seven readings that they do from the very, very beginning, from Genesis all the way up until the resurrection. So it's a learning experience to go to that Mass. I mean, I think it's our faith encapsulated.
Well, I think that's one of the things when you look at... If you look at starting in Palm Sunday, you know, when we start, when the priest is in the back and he comes in, and, you know, everybody is happy and joyous, and, you know, Christ is coming into our lives, and it starts. And then from then on, if you look at the Gospels, it's long, it's drawn out. Everything is so encapsulated for an entire life of Jesus. All 3 years come into that final week. And then when you get to Easter Sunday, there's only three words that matter. Mm-hmm. He is risen. And, you know, if I was doing a homily, I don't know what else I could say. I mean, that is everything about us, that is the personification of our faith, is the fact that He is risen. And it's done.
Yeah. And we had a priest several years ago here at the diocese. I think we were at St. Francis of Assisi on Market Street in Harrisburg. And it was like right after, second or third Sunday after Easter. And we got all done, and he walks over to the ambo, and he stood there for a couple of minutes with his head down. He looked up, and he said, "Jesus lives." Walked over and sat down in his chair for a good 4 minutes. And
wow.
You could have heard a pin. I mean, you talk about a profound homily.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that is everything. You know, we are people of the Eucharist, and without Him rising, there would be no Eucharist, and without our priest, we would have no Eucharist, and that's one of the things that I think during these last few days of Holy Week, before we get in, you know, say a prayer for your priest. Say a prayer that we have more priests, because without a priest, we have no religion. Our faith is gone. We believe in the Eucharist, and without the priest and his consecration, we don't have the Eucharist.
Yeah, that's one of those things that at this time of year, I'm often reminded of the fact that, you know, people must think that we're crazy for believing in this. You know what I mean? Because we either, you know, that, I forget who it was that said, the famous writer said that Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Right.
Yes.
And so we have to, you know, we believe that, and we believe that He's Lord. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people must think, you know, the people that don't understand the Eucharist, like you're talking about, they don't understand what we believe, and so we probably look dumb to them, but I don't care.
I've been called worse.
Yes.
So was our Lord. So was our Lord. So I think it kind of works out. But I think that, you know, this is a special time. And I know that we all have stories and we all have thoughts. And, you know, we remember the people that have gone before us. And, you know, if you really and truly think about it, I mean, if you're really old and you're talking like 103 years, that's nothing. Because your eternity is going to be based on what you did during those 103 years. And we're all sinners, and that's just the way it is.
I remember hearing an explanation of what eternity is, and I think it was Steve Wood that said, he was a Catholic speaker, and he said, I want you to imagine you're on the highest mountain in the West Coast, and you're going to walk down to the East Coast, to the ocean, and you're going to pick up one piece of sand, okay? Then you're going to walk back to that mountain and put it up there. Then you're going to walk back and get another piece of sand. Then you walk back to that mountain, okay? Every single piece of sand, you're going to trek all the way back to the mountain. That doesn't describe what eternity is. You know, and just think about that in terms of how long something like that would take to do. That's not it.
So wow.
That's what we're going to have.
That's
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's deep, Joseph. Yeah. on that note, we're going to close with some musical interlude, and wish you all a very happy Easter.
Your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof, a beauty in the moonlight overthrew you. She tied you to her kitchen chair. Yeah.
From the staff, management, and volunteers here at Holy Family Radio, we wish each and every one of you a blessed Holy Week and a happy Easter.